Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly favored? Praise God. You know, that's amazing in His presence. It's just amazing. You know, He's amazing. And there's so much that God has for us. And the enemy always wants to put limitations. And that's all the Lord is trying to do, is get us in His presence to expand us. He wants to expand us so we see more, hear more. You know, the Word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and only where the Spirit of the Lord is. Amen? This is not about religion. It's about relationship, and it's about not only fighting for His presence, but maintaining His presence in our life. And we talked about maintaining the presence of God. You know, I want to share something with you. There are no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to heaven. There's no shortcuts. And that's one of the things that the Spirit is trying to bring, which separates us, not only by the presence of God, but there are no shortcuts. You know, when you and I were in the world, we always thought we could do whatever we want and we just go home. Although we didn't even know where home was. We didn't even know where we came from. Didn't even know who we were. But there are no shortcuts. You know, after we talked about acknowledging the presence of God, which was Sunday, I got a call Monday from a gentleman. And he said he wanted to meet me, and he was struggling with some things. And as we were talking, one of the things that he said, you know, I was attacked all day long. He said, man, oppression was coming, all kinds of goofy thoughts. He says, I couldn't shake it. 3 o'clock in the morning, it was like demons were in his room and just attacking him crazy. And he was quoting scripture and doing. Finally, he says, I acknowledge the presence of God. So I sensed the Holy Spirit standing next to me, and I gave him a high five. Because I knew that the Lord was giving me confirmation about how important this is. And this individual said, when I acknowledged the presence of God, it was like a magnet that came over me. And just everything began to just lift from me. Bam, 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 bam. And everything that was in his room that was attacking him was just being sucked up like to a magnet, and the presence of God just began to fill his room. And he said, I was freed. What I tried to do for a day didn't work. Even though I was quoting scriptures and everything, I was fighting. He says, but it wasn't until I acknowledged the presence of God. When I acknowledged his presence, I became free. I thought, wow. And I was just so blessed. I said, man, you wouldn't believe this. I said, you know, this is just the Lord setting this up to let me know. Because that is vitally important. We are in the last days. In fact, we are in the last hours. Time is running out. And there'll be those who are acknowledging the presence of God and those who are not. And those who are not acknowledging the presence of God think that there's a shortcut to heaven. And I want you to know that there is no shortcut. None. And I'm going to go to our swords tonight. Hallelujah. And when I go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Everyone say, no shortcut to heaven.
No shortcut to heaven.
Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing in how many people proclaim to be believers or Christians and do not read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, right? It's like a roadmap, you know? And they don't read the Bible. They don't know. And it's amazing to me in how many people that believe that Jesus is their Savior, but yet don't believe the Word of God. It's amazing to me. You know what? They are not believers. They are not believers. Because there's something about when Christ comes into a life that the Word of God now becomes food. There's something that begins to change in an individual's life. In fact, they want to read the Word. They want to acknowledge the presence of God. They want to. Other than that, they're still in darkness, even though they call themselves believers. In Matthew 22, and in verse 1, let's speak it together. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made what? They made light of it. And I'm telling you, this country is making light of it. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend," he said the same thing to Judas, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called," that word called means invited, "but few are chosen," because they didn't accept the invitation. Again, what he was sharing here, he says there's no shortcuts. Many people try to go to heaven and try to get into the wedding another way, but there are no shortcuts. Only those who carry the wedding garment. Now, I want you to know something, that we are on this side. We haven't gone home yet, even though we are eternal beings already. But on this side, we carry the priestly garments. These were called wedding garments. On this side, we carry a priestly garment. And we also have the full armor of God on this side to battle. Amen? So we have the priestly garment. We have the full armor of God. But when we get home, there's an exchange made. The exchange is made for the armor and the priestly garment is still maintained. But the exchange is made for the armor of God for the wedding gown. It is the wedding garment that we exchange because we don't need to fight anymore. In fact, what is given to us, the Bible talks about robes of righteousness. And there are robes of righteousness that you and I have. And in that, that robe of righteousness is carried with us. But there's a priestly garment. There's the full armor of God. There's a robe of righteousness because it's his righteousness. It's associated with his seal. But when we get home, there's an exchange that is made. And that exchange is for the full armor of God for the wedding garment. Amen? But many people try to go up another way. Self-righteousness, certain religions, much witchcraft. You know, you can go to all kinds of places and people are talking about their gift from God, but they're not glorifying Jesus. See, many people have many gods in their life, but there are no shortcuts. There's only one God. There's only one truth, and there's only one way. And Matthew 7 and verse 12. Let's speak it together, please. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the what? Narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." Wow. Everybody wants shortcut, drive-through. But there's a price to pay. Jesus told us the price. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow, right? Verse 15, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown where? In the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Wow. Again, there is no shortcut, is there? The requirement is to do the will of God. This is the requirement. It is to do the will of God. Narrow is the gate. Difficult leads to life. Only those who do the will of God will make it home. So everybody got this? It's essential because there's so much deception going on right now. There's so much false teachings and false doctrines. There's even false grace. There's a lot of teaching of just grace. I'm saved by grace, but not understanding that grace is God's plan to escape. Amen? So people think that they just can fall under grace and do whatever they want and make it home. Amen? There is no shortcut home. He says that the gate is narrow and it is difficult. That means that there's a process, isn't there? Amen. There's a process. Jesus paid a price and you and I must pay a price. The price is continued. That's why he said, learn from me, right? Because if you don't learn, you burn. And John 14. John 14. In verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would know, have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus was explicit. There is no other way. None. No one goes to the Father except for through the Son, because in true reality, no one gets to the Father except for through the Father. But Jesus paid the price through the blood, through the sacrifice, that man could access God. But God's desire was to access man. And because God's desire was to access man, he sent from himself, and called himself Son, so that he could produce his own blood, so that he could access man. And anyone willing to accept him and follow him would have fellowship with him. And we become an offspring of God Almighty, an offspring of the Holy One, an offspring of the Eternal One. We'll become an offspring. And Jesus said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life. Again, that goes back to his word and the Spirit. His word and the Spirit. So how can people think that they have eternal life without eating his word and drinking his Spirit? You know how many people don't even repent? I don't sin. That's what people think. I don't sin. Not realizing that their thoughts, their words, and their deeds. You know, the word even says, if you know what to do is good and don't, it's sin. Not knowing that sin is the presence of evil influencing individuals. There is only one way, there's only one truth, and there's only one life. There is one God, one Creator, one Holy Spirit, and one Savior. That's it. All the other religions are backed by darkness. There's only one that's backed by light. All other religions worship other things than the true God. This is not about a religion. This is about a relationship. This is not about a denomination. It's about a relationship. The Bible says those who know their God will do great exploits. Who know their God. So there's that area of cooperation. Again, no shortcuts. None. Even when you go get a job, you just don't get put into places without having credibility. Your resume is a credibility. So you had to pay a price to build that resume. You either went to school and then you got trained on the job training, whatever it may be. There was a process for you to get into a position. There's a process for victory. We have victory because he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world, and we have fellowship with the one who overcame the world. That gives us victory, doesn't it? In Hebrews chapter 10, no shortcuts. There is a reason why we are talking about this. I just believe that the Spirit wants to get this out. I really, truly just believe that he just wants to get this out. Because there's a lot of deception and delusion out there that there are shortcuts, and there are no shortcuts. Hebrews chapter 10 and 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you have compassion, had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of what? Endurance. Endurance. So that after you have what? Done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After you have done the will of God, you receive a promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. So we are in need of endurance to do the will of God so we can receive the promise. Amen. That's where God says, do this and I'll do that. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. You grab hold of me, I'll grab hold of you. Again, it's that area of doing the will of God because there are no shortcuts. We must look and search at the areas of what, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, the Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. We don't want to do our will. That's why it's important in prayer time every day to exchange will for will. Lord, I give you my will. That's why it's important to invite the Holy Spirit in everything that you and I are doing. That's why it's important that we endure. That's called patience. See, the enemy comes to push. The Holy Spirit comes to lead. And because he comes to lead, he's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to establish things. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way because you waited. Amen? Because you waited. You know, so many times people are waiting on God to do something when God is waiting on them. And then, this may sound strange. God is waiting on them to wait. Does everybody get that? I'm going to say that again. So many people are waiting on God, but God is waiting on them to wait because while you wait, you are a waiter, you will serve. But people are waiting on God to do something, but they're not doing anything. So what they do is they stop praying. They stop worshiping. I'm waiting on God. That's not how you wait on God, man. No, you wait on God by seeking. You wait on God by battling. You wait on God by fighting. You wait on God by worshiping. You wait on God by acknowledging his presence. That is how you wait on God. You wait on God by seeking, reading the word. You wait on God. You don't wait on God twiddling your thumbs. Oh, I'm the only one. Well, I don't understand, Lord. The word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to them. That's waiting on God. Is everybody okay? Why? Because there's no what? No shortcuts. No shortcuts. Hosea 4:6. Let's speak it together. This is a very familiar verse here. Hosea 4:6. It's on page Hosea 4:6. Let's speak it together. Hallelujah. Is everybody ready? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hello. In other words, my people are destroyed because of ignorance. Spiritual ignorance. Because many people live by their feelings. They live by what people tell them. They live by according to the world's influence, but not according to what the word says. Of course, if you don't read the Bible, how are you going to know what God is saying? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest for me. That's a priestly garment. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Many people's children go astray because they themselves are out of order, the parents. God says, when you're in order, your household will be saved no matter what it looks like. Destroyed by ignorance. It's a terrible thing to be a Christian and be destroyed by ignorance. Not knowing the depths of Satan's kingdom. Not understanding. You know, there's many believers that don't even like this. The devil? Man, the only thing you see is their shoes. Because they're gone when you speak the devil. Yeah, man. Demons. What? They don't even realize it's biblical. Because they never opened the Bible. There's all kinds of things that people have this assumption of how God is and how they need to believe, not realizing that the influence is coming from the unseen realm. They have no idea the unseen realm. They walk around with veils on their eyes. And they believe everything is just fine. I'm a good person. I'm going home. No, a good person is called a shortcut. And there's no shortcuts. There's only a righteous person. No shortcuts. Deuteronomy 18. There must be a song called No Shortcuts to Heaven. I used to know a song called Stairway to Heaven, but that was not the right heaven. I can tell you that. That stair went right to hell. Boy, did they lay on that, huh? Man, I remember singing that song. God help me. Stairway to Heaven. No, it was Stairway to Hell. That stairway was not going up. It was going down. Deuteronomy 18. In verse 9, it says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Now, you got to remember that when this country was founded, it was founded on Christianity. And verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Some people are still speaking to grandma that passed 40 years ago, not realizing that's necromancy, and that's speaking to the dead. Well, Uncle Joe showed up the other night. That wasn't Uncle Joe, I'm going to tell you. That was a familiar spirit. Verse 12. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord will, your God, drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Does everybody see that? The Lord has not what? Appointed such for you. So listen. People are going to these arenas trying to find God. They're trying to find answers. And these people that are involved in this actually believe that they have a gift from God. But it's the God of this world, not the eternal one. And the God of this world is Satan. So they go to these soothsayers. They go to tarot cards. They read their horoscopes every day. Oh, this is what's going to happen. Oh, I better stay home. No power, is there? That's control. That's deception. Sorcerers are also associated with addiction and drugs, pharmakia, black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. All of these areas is a form of worship of darkness associated with idols, thinking that they have a shortcut, especially the New Age. The New Age is phenomenal. They'll take one part of truth and wrap it with deception. It's like taking a hot dog and wrapping it with bacon. Some of you are drooling. Okay, I'll try and find another scenario. Hallelujah. But anyways, it's a practice of witchcraft. And the New Age movement is phenomenal in the witchcraft arena. It has a form of godliness but denies the power that is associated with witchcraft. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. No shortcuts. Hallelujah. I remember speaking to someone one day, and I guess somebody recommended them to call. And the person called, I'm sure he was sorry he called. And he was telling me about some of the struggles and so forth and whatever. And the Holy Spirit showed me him sleeping with a woman. And so I said, well, are you a believer? He said, yes. I said, then why are you fornicating? He said, well, I'm saved by grace. Man, if I could put my hand through that phone, I would have pulled him right through. I thought, do you not read the Word of God? I'm saved by grace. Well, that's not grace, man. That is not grace. Serving darkness and calling yourself a Christian is not grace. Now you've broken covenant. There is no grace there. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. And this guy was he was trying to argue with me about, I am saved by grace. I'm thinking, who's telling you this? I'm not going to tell you what church it is. because it's a mega church. But it's amazing to me that people actually believe that because the grace of God has come into this realm and they've accepted Jesus, that they just can go out and do whatever they want, thinking that that's a shortcut. A shortcut, grace. Yeah, shortcut. No, grace is God's plan, isn't it? Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with Eastern ways. In other words, they picked up Eastern ways, Eastern religions, another way. They are what? Soothsayers like the Philistines. And they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and there's no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their what? Own hands. Hasn't this country gone to that arena? That which their own fingers have made. People bow down and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. In other words, there's that area that says, don't associate with them. Don't associate with them. Stay away from them. Don't pick up those things. You know, money is a tremendous area of idolatry, idol. You know, we're to be using money to expand the kingdom of God, not build our own empires. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy and rich or a gazillionaire, as long as your heart is set on building the kingdom of God. I wouldn't mind being a gazillionaire. Praise God. We sure feed a lot of people. Hallelujah. I'd buy every billboard on I-4. They couldn't escape. And Revelation 9:20. Hallelujah. Yes, I will, Lord. Make me a gazillionaire and I'll buy every billboard on I-4. Yes. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20. It says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not what? Repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders and their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. And that's what's happening right now in this country. There is no repentance. People are not turning from the wicked ways. In fact, it's being more promoted now. Man, you turn on the TV, man, you need blinders. And you got to peek every once in a while. It's incredible. I mean, there is so much stuff with promotion of humiliation, and I'm not saying humbleness. People are humiliating themselves, self-humiliation, by doing things for money. I mean, they got shows on there where people are eating worms and all kinds of stuff. It's pretty sick, you know. But I'm sharing the area that there is so much worship of money and truly not acknowledging the presence of God or acknowledging the Word of God. They did not repent or turn from the ways of wickedness and head towards the Lord. In Luke 16, because people believe that there's a shortcut. It is a false doctrine. You know, Satan's doctrine is do what thou feel like. Luke 16 and verse 9. Let's speak it together. 16:9, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. What kind of home is that? It ain't God's house. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they were derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves because before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Again, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the eyes of God. No shortcuts. Hebrews 12. Verse 14. Let's speak it. It says what? "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." Wow, they defile the garment. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for" what? He didn't repent. He cried like a baby, but he never repented. "Though he sought it diligently with" what? With what? "Tears." Though he sought it diligently with tears, but he did not repent. He sold his birthright, thinking it a common thing, for food, for the things of the world, for the taste of the world. In Isaiah 5. I wonder how many billboards are on I-4. Praise God. Isaiah 5:20. No shortcuts. No acknowledging God's presence. No acknowledging the word. When people get into that condition, it's called a woe. W-O-E. It means without eternity. And you'll see a lot of woe, a lot of woes in the Bible. It means without eternity. In verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Is that happening right now in this country? Oh my gosh, yes. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Verse 22. "Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating a drink." That is a bartender. Woe without eternity. "Woe to those who are intoxicating." Verse 23. "Who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Woe to them. There's a lot of woes in here. In Romans 16. Why? Because there is no shortcut. Is everybody okay? In verse 16, 17. Let's speak it. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning" what? "Evil. Note those who cause division with flattering speech. They are attached to false doctrines of men, assuming the easy way or the shortcut, not willing to pay the price." So everybody got that? Because there is a price to pay. There is no shortcut. The gate is narrow and difficult. It takes cooperation, doesn't it? It takes cooperation. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, let's speak it now. "The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits" and what? "Doctrines of demons." In other words, they're going to pick up a doctrine that supposedly is going to give them the shortcut. speaking in lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. They will be deceived, thinking that there is a shortcut. Doctrines of demons. In 1 Corinthians 6, people holding on to bitterness, the Lord says, unless you forgive, I can't forgive you. So if you've been offended by anything I've ever preached, you got to forgive me. Because there ain't no shortcuts. Hallelujah. For 6, verse 9. Do you not know that what? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. There it is. You can all go home now. No shortcuts, is there? And such were some of us. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. No shortcuts. Well, I'm a believer, but I'm homosexual. Well, if you're homosexual and you're practicing it, it says that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's just really get to the root of this. It is a demon. It is a spirit that causes people to do such things. But because they don't know the doctrine, or they're not involved in a place that's telling them the truth, people think that it's okay. No one's saying that people hate the person. We don't hate anyone. You'll know them by their fruits. So we don't hate the person, but we hate evil. And the Word tells us that we are to hate evil. And too many people are petting it, even feeding it, approving it. And the Word says if you approve of those things, you'll be judged the same way they are. It's our responsibility to expose it, not condemn the person. Expose the evil. Amen? That's why it's important that we do intercession and pray. That's why it's important that we battle and fight. That's why it's important that we maintain a spirit of humbleness and submission to God and treat others as you want to be treated. In 1 John chapter 5, now, you don't treat demons the way you want to be treated. Do you understand that? You treat demons the way Jesus did. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Now, again, does not sin, does not allow sin to rule over him. Doesn't mean he won't make a mistake. So when he does make a mistake, he repents. Amen? Turns from it. Verse 19, for we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the what? Sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So the world is under the sway of the wicked one. In other words, he's trying to let people think that there is a shortcut, and there is no shortcut. It's called the stairway to hell. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5, let's speak it. 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered or learned a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In other words, one of the things that the Lord is trying to do is get us settled so that we are not swayed. We're not looking for a shortcut. We're looking for the King. And I want to close at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, in this area and truly trusting in God and in having that relationship and acknowledging His presence, acknowledging His Word, believing what He says in His Word. You know, I know myself that I've become accustomed to having my phone available because it's a way of communication and so forth. And for example, today I was like, you know, I lost my phone. And when I said, Lord, please show me where my phone is at. And when I asked that, I saw a call coming and it had my brother's name on the call. And so, you know, I just gave it up. I said, Lord, I just cast this on you. I'm not going to be concerned about it. It's yours. Well, my wife came home and she had my phone. And apparently I left it at the gym. And so when she brought it and I set it down, within 5 minutes I got a call and it was my brother. And his name came up. And I thought, man, if we could just always trust that the Lord is going to make a way. You know, again, and it's the area of that we want to do God's will, isn't it? And even when we're doing God's will, do we do goofy things? Amen. But in this, I saw, man, I said, Lord, you're so cool. You know, I mean, I could not remember where the phone was at. Because I've been at multiple places, under hoods of cars, in and out of sheds. You know, who knows? I said, Lord, please. You know what a hassle is to try and get all those numbers again for the 14th time. No. And I just asked if he would just take, and I just gave it away. You know, if it's gone, it's gone, so be it. But I saw my brother. My concern was missing my brother's call. But like I said, my wife came home from nowhere. I was upstairs and about to get ready for Bible study, and she throws the phone on the bed. I said, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then I said, thank you, honey. Oh, we're buying all the billboards on I-4, so praise God. But again, in that area of just trust, you know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body, our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Looking at the things that are eternal. Again, there is no shortcut. There is a price to pay, and we must be willing to pay it. Amen? Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Learn, because freedom is learned. Amen? Remember, repentance allows us access to get free. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed bear fruit for your glory. And grant us, Lord, grant us the favor. The favor, the grace, the revelation, and the open doors that we may walk in them according to your will and your way, to constantly deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow you. I want to thank you for listening. all of our listeners and viewers. And for any other further information and teachings, please go to eternallibrary.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you, empower you, and protect you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.